well, God can just do it all by himself. Really? Is that really biblical? Does God really do it all by himself? No, he doesn't. Because the Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. So, you know, if we hide it under a bushel, people go without hearing the gospel. People are doomed. We need to reach them with the gospel. And you say, well, everybody gets a chance. Yeah, but I want to give people two chances. I want to give people a third chance. I want to give people a fourth chance, because most people don't get saved the first time they hear it. I want to give them a sixth and a seventh chance. And the more we go, the more people are going to be saved. The more seeds we plant and the more water we dump in that garden, the more people are going to be saved. So it's so foolish to say, oh, well, you know, it's all in God's hands. Well, just because God makes the plant grow, no, it's not all in God's hands, because we have to be faithful to water that garden. You know, so that's what the Bible is actually teaching, because God says, ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. So God has given every man ministers by whom they might believe. So are we going, though? Are we being that minister? Are we filling the role that God has for our lives? And are we being an answer to prayer? When people are praying in some distant city, oh God, please let my relative in Phoenix, Arizona be saved. Are we an answer to prayer when we knock on that door? Because I remember many times that I've knocked on somebody's door and given them the gospel, and they said, wow, you know, my grandma is a Baptist, or my uncle's Baptist, or my aunt. They keep talking to me about this. And then they get saved, and you think, you know, I'm an answer to the prayer of that other relative. That's a blessing to do that. But you know what? People are praying, and so many people are just not willing to go. And then it just doesn't get done. And it's like, well, why isn't God answering my prayer? But God's trying to send people. But here's the problem. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You could be an answer to that prayer by being a laborer that goes out into the harvest. And we see here that one person plants and another waters. God gives the increase. But I like this in verse 8. It says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. What does that mean? He that planteth and he that watereth are one. It's the same guy who plants and the same guy who waters. Sometimes we're planting. Sometimes we're... There's no such thing as just an all-time planter. I'm just a seed planter. I never want anybody to the Lord. I just plant seeds. Or all I do is just water. No, it's the same person that does. But sometimes we plant, sometimes we water, sometimes we get to see that harvest reaped. Okay, now flip over to John chapter 4. Just back a few pages to the left in your Bible, John chapter 4. And the Bible says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Oh, we don't matter. We don't have any part in it. We have nothing to do with it. That's not what the Bible teaches. We have a job to do. God gives us that job to do. If we accomplish the mission, we get a reward. We get paid. You say, why do we get paid by the Lord? Why does he reward us? Don't we owe him so much anyway? Well, here's the thing, though. Salvation's free. We don't pay that back. When we go out and do works for God, he rewards us. It doesn't go toward our salvation debt. That's already been paid by Jesus. But look at John chapter 4, and we have another great passage on the same concept. It says in verse 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages. Do you see again that reward when you go out and win souls to Christ? And gathereth fruit unto life eternal. Again, showing that when we bring forth fruit as believers, that's when we win people to Christ. And those people have eternal life. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. When we go out and knock doors on soul winning, we're not always starting from scratch with people, are we? We talk to somebody, and a lot of times they already know who Jesus is. They might know the basics of the Bible, the basics of the story. They've already been thinking about these things, and we just get to come in and just water that plant a little bit and reap that harvest. And the Bible says that at the end of verse 36 there, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Isn't it going to be great someday to get to heaven and be able to get together with your co-laborers and rejoice together with those, the people that you wanted the Lord, you could rejoice with those who planted the seed and say, hey, your labor wasn't in vain. Remember you gave the gospel to that guy and he didn't receive it? Well, guess what? Later I came along and got that guy saved, and vice versa. And we can rejoice in our labors and rejoice in the increase that God gave as a result of just being faithful and going out and knocking doors and giving the gospel to people and witnessing unto people at the job and friends and family and loved ones. And it's a team effort. It's not a one-man show.